Hello and welcome to episode 14 of Inside the BDO, the podcast with me, Andrew Sinclair. Different podcast this time. It's a review show from the 2020 BDO World Championships at the Indigo at the O2 in London. I was fortunate enough to have some press access for four sessions during the week, the Thursday evening, the two sessions on the final Saturday, and of course for the men's final on the Sunday. And on the show, there's three interviews, one with Nick Kenny, one with Tony O'Shea, and one with BDO senior referee John Fowler. All of them were recorded before the final. Variety of different topics and some interesting talking points that came up from those. But just before I get into that, a quick chat about, you know, my experience of the tournament and everything like that. Obviously, the backdrop of the tournament with all the issues with the prize money and all of that stuff obviously wasn't great and it has to be discussed. But I think it is very easy for people to, you know, lump on Dez and lump on other people. And, you know, these problems aren't all of Dez's making. A lot of them are long-term issues that have not been dealt with and have, you know, built up to a crescendo over the last few months. But some of them have come under his regime and they need to be acknowledged, admitted to, and hopefully dealt with. And I think the next few months are really going to see a sea change in the amateur side of the game, whether that's through the WDF, whether that's through the BDO, whether it's through, you know, a combination of what happens to both of them. And I think it's going to be very interesting. But in terms of the darts, you know, the darts did their talking over the last 9 days. Oh, it was a really good tournament. I thought, you know, on average, the standard of the playing was really good. The averages in the preliminary round were up again. And I thought generally the games were all pretty good. A couple of, you know, disappointing performances, John O'Shea, for example. But, you know, Ross Montgomery played as well as he has in the World Championship in a very long time and was unlucky to go out to Thibaut Tricol. It was one of those games where, you know, there's an 8-point difference in the averages, but that doesn't tell the story of the match. But, you know, there were some great games. You had Paul Hogan's kind of beautiful run to the quarterfinals, and then he ran out of steam in the end. But the standard he produced against Martin Kleermacher and Adam Smith-Neill would be very hard to beat. By very few players on the entire planet could match that kind of standard. So that was fantastic to see. And Wayne Warren's victory in the men's competition was something that was an absolute delight to be there for. You know, as I said on the weekly darts cast, it was a fantastic moment to be a guest on that. Alex Burton and Hannah do a great job with that. And as I said on there, Wayne showed in every game a different facet of what makes him great. And I think in the final, maybe it wasn't as well-rounded as a performance as he gave against Scott Mitchell, but it was definitely up there. And it was a great moment. And it was the emotion he showed afterwards showed to me that, you know, dreams really can come true. And it was a moment that definitely resonated with me. I got a chance to have a photo taken with Mikuru Suzuki, a fanboy moment, but she's an absolute superstar. And I thought she was fantastic throughout the ladies' tournament. Maybe not the biggest scorer, but brutally clinical. And, you know, the scoreline in the final was a little bit harsh on Lisa Ashton in fairness. She also played tremendously well, you know, 85 average. But those ladies, you know, Fallon as well, are pushing the ladies' game to another level at the minute. And obviously you've got the likes of Bo coming through. So, you know, I think the tournament on the whole, in terms of the play, was good. I thought Paul Booth, the MC, did an absolutely brilliant job. You know, he's absolutely fantastic. He worked so hard throughout the week to, you know, raise money for charity in the intervals. Got them well over the $5,000 mark in the end for Prostate Cancer UK and BDO Youth Darts. He also, you know, kept the crowd engaged throughout, got people on the stage doing games, singing. He was absolutely brilliant, and he worked tirelessly. The same goes for the referees. You know, it's easy for people to pile on social media and say, oh, Kerry's made loads of mistakes, or blah, 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 blah. Well, you know what? I'm going to sound like a bit of a whatever here, but you know what? You get up there and do a better job. You know, I think it's very easy to come out and say, oh, she did a poor job, or this person did a poor job, or I don't like the way this person called something. Well, they're still all learning. They went from all effectively doing county, aside from John Fowler, who's obviously the most experienced, but they've all effectively gone from doing county to televised events. they all make mistakes. I mean, we all saw Russ Bray at the PDC World Championships made a couple of mistakes on his first night. You know, none of us are perfect. We're all capable of making mistakes. And I think sometimes people should think before they type and before they send a tweet to someone criticising what they were doing. I'd like to see you lot get up there and do better without the experience and the practice and do an absolutely perfect job every single time. They worked tremendously hard. I thought the venue on the whole was absolutely fantastic, really modern. I thought the stage looked great, the setup looked great. The crowds, when I was there, yes, there were some empty sessions, you know, the first Sunday evening when, you know, that famous shot of Martijn Kleermaker playing Gino Voss in front of what looked about 12 people. Yes, there were some, you know, really quiet afternoon sessions during the middle of the week, but, you know, by the end, I thought the evening sessions were really good. The sessions I was there for, there was a really great atmosphere. People seemed to be having a great time. You know, the beer was cheap. Big screens. You know, it was a really quality, you know, really quality venue. And it's the sort of venue you can do a lot with moving forward, if obviously there's a tournament to run in years to come. But yeah, I thought it was a great venue. I thought everyone worked very hard. And yes, there were production issues on Eurosport. There were a lot of them. You know, men being shown for the ladies' faces, wrong men being shown for the men and numbers. And, you know, those issues gradually reduced as the week went on. And I thought the comms and TV crew for Eurosport, you know, Matt Smith, Paul Nicholson, John Quinn, John Rawling, Antonio Shaw, I thought they did a brilliant job. I thought they, you know, their coverage all week was fantastic. I thought they nailed it. I thought Matt Smith was fantastic as presenter. Tried to get him on the pod, but unfortunately, you know, Eurosport commitments, he wasn't able to come on, but he did a great job. I thought it was great to hear Gwynny at a World Championships again. I thought he did a great job. I thought Nicholson was insightful and informative on, you know, co-coms. Tony O'Shea was a great laugh, and he can kind of bring an experience and, you know, stories from, you know, the exhibitions and funny stories from the tour. And, you know, generally he's a jovial, fun-loving, entertaining bloke, and I think he's a, you know, he's a great change of pace. And obviously, you know, Rawling's a long-time pro. He's been doing the darts a while, does the boxing as well. So, you know, they knew what they were doing, and I thought they worked tremendously hard. And yeah, you can fault the production, but for me, the rest of it was pretty damn good. And I had, you know, great access to players and sessions. I was there, I had chats with numbers of players. You know, I was able to kind of mingle, speak to who I wanted to speak to. Didn't record all of them because it was nice to just kind of talk to players without the pressure of the microphone, get their opinions, you know, kind of see the lie of the land. But it was also great to, you know, speak to David Evans on the Thursday, and on the Saturday speak to Keane Barry, Francis Carragher. You can listen to the interviews, you know, they're on the podcast feed on Podbean and iTunes. And then obviously on the Sunday I spoke to Nick Kenny, Tony O'Shea and John Fowler, as I said. Wanted to speak to Wayne Warren, but I had to dash off. But, you know, I thought that overall I think I'd call the tournament a success. Yes, there are a lot of negative stories, prize money being probably the biggest one coming out of it, and that can't be ignored. But if you take the tournament for what it was, which was, you know, a BDO World Championship, standard was high, commentary, presenting standard was very good. The MC and the officials were very good, and they worked incredibly hard to deliver a great tournament for everyone. And, you know, yes, there were some things you can pick on, but I thoroughly enjoyed it, and it was a brilliant experience to be there, be behind the scenes a little bit and talk to people. And, you know, there's some great people involved in the BDO. There always have been, and they did a fantastic job. So I'm immensely grateful. And I'm immensely grateful to everyone who's listened to this over the last year and, you know, shown support, whether that's through liking a tweet, following the page, listening to a pod, saying, oh, great interview, well done, or I really enjoyed that. You know, it all means a lot, genuinely does, and I might not always respond or whatever, but it does mean a lot, and I appreciate it. Where this podcast goes from here, I'm not too sure. Tweeted the other day, you know, that depends on the BDO and the WDF, but I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'd love to continue with it, so hopefully we will. But this is the wrap-up show, and here are the three interviews, and I'll be back at the end to wrap it all up and say a few words. But First up, Nick Kenny, Antonio Shea, and then John Fowler. So I'm now joined outside the Indigo at the O2 in London by Nick Kenny.
Hello, Andrew. Nick? Nice to meet you. Not too bad. Been a great week. Looking forward to the final now tonight.
Obviously, spoke to you in August. You were playing some phenomenal stuff. You'd won a couple of trophies. That continued. You went to the World Cup and obviously you got the injury. How have the last few months been for you?
To be honest, sat on my backside for 3 weeks in a cast without picking up a dart, without moving back and forth. I didn't go out the house until I had the boot, to be honest. Quite a big lad. I was struggling up and down the stairs with the banisters back and forth the toilet. Just rotted away for 3 weeks really. I hadn't thrown a dart. And they were picking a county team and my dad said, you know, you're having a boot on, are you going to play? And then John Worsley dropped out to go up to a PDC event. He plays for Gwent with us. And I said, oh, put me in, we'll see how we go. And I was struggling, you know, a big boot. Still getting used to walking on it and I lost the game. But more and more I played then, I started playing really well with this boot on. Hitting big averages in Super League, didn't really lose many local games. And the more I played, the better I got with this boot. And it was thought I might have kept the boot on this week. So I was in the boot then until the 27th. And I won a few competitions in the boot. I won a big competition in Hereford. But the notable thing really was I said to Paul after the county game, I said, I think it might have been a tournament. I said, book Italy, I said. The Italian Open and the Grandmasters. I said, we'll have a go. So I knew if I picked up well and done better than Wesley Arms there, I'd be number one in the WDF, which is the financial reward for that. So, and I got the two semi-finals and done better than Wesley on the Sunday, and I've got me to number one by the end of 2019. So I was playing really well. I was a bit nervous and I had a nice 32 average in county and a couple of 32 averages in Super League. But, you know, I took the boot off. I played a Piers comp at gym and we won it. He basically carried me. Played a few comps after that and preparation wasn't the best without just having the boot off on the 27th, but I thought I played all right. The consultant sort of said to me, you can't really be in the gym, because I did start the gym and started to lose a bit of weight this year. He said, you can't really be in the gym or playing football again if you was doing that for 2 months. So it's still a bit, you know, of a paranoia really for me, sort of putting weight on the hockey. But I've had to go after my match now, and I played all right in the match. It was only throbbing late on, but I'll be all right for Q.
I mean, how would you rate you came in, I kind of expected you to do really well, and I think a lot of people did. Were you, obviously you know Denny from the tour, were you surprised about how he played, anything about the venue, or just the game in general? How did you find it?
I wasn't surprised. The only thing that surprised me a bit was his finishing. His key finishing at big times in the match. I was 2-0 up in the second set. I've watched it back now. I missed a bit of 180 lead tops, and he's taken out. Taking out 90, but he's hit a big one first start, and I tend to watch the players and I'm thinking, yes, got a shot here, and he's hit the 57, that's his in, okay, next leg, and he's taken out 98 with me on 65, double 19, double top, which is crucial finishing. And fair play, that's all you can do is hold your hands up and say, well done mate, you know, your finishing was a lot better. If you look at the averages and the scoring, there's nothing between us. One break of throw in favour of him. A slow start cost me first set. But, you know, I expected the 170 was touching the top wire, and I think if it had gone in at 1-1, I think, you know, I'd have come out all guns blazing and possibly would have won. But a 2-2, it felt great. You know, I had the darts last set and he banged in the 12 darter, and again all you could say is fair play. And it took out the 1-1-3, moved right across, and he was even way back. I was looking at his foot, to be honest, he was even way back, and he pinned the 88, and I thought, here we are, another first round gone. So, but it's the way it is. There's been a lot of problems this week in terms of prize money. I viewed I might not get nothing. I viewed I might get this, similar to what we were expecting. I viewed so many different rumours. It's just a joke, really. So,
have you had no confirmation at all from the board about what you're going to get at any stage?
No. There's all rumours with Matt, the players director. He's, you know, there should be an email out. No one's had an email. Even, you know, not one player has said they've had an email. There's just been rumours about potentially 23,000 that we've all seen on social media. Then something else come out with, I think it was Demon Stanley saying it's potentially 50. But, you know, it's no wonder nobody's happy. It's because it's just a joke, really. It's such a great new venue. If they'd have done it properly, it'd have been sold out every day. But they tried to bring it here. It's a good thing. But then the bad thing is they've got no money to pay anyone out. You know, and I know they was going around the counties. They might have been looking at it, a few people thought they haven't got the money there, and then the sport total thing come out then at the end of the year. So it's just move on now. I look forward to Thursday. Like,
on a more positive note, obviously we're just talking before the final, one of your travelling partners, Wayne Warren, he says like you're like his sat nav when you're on the tour, and obviously another Welshman in Jim, who you know well. I mean, it must be quite, you must be proud seeing them both up there and realising a dream that they've both got, even though you're not in the position you wanted to be.
I said to everyone, I said we're going to have a Welsh world champion. I thought I'd play Jim in the semis. That was my target, was to get, and obviously I didn't, but I thought I'm good enough to beat Mario. I've got a good record against him. I know Denny beat me the once before, and I thought Richard Beanstra, I'm due a good one, but it would have been David Evans, but I thought I'd get a Jim, see how we do, and potentially play Wayne in the final. But I just said to everyone, 1995 we had Richie Burnett, 13 years later we had Mark Webster, and now 12 years later, possibly might be the last, the way it's going, with Leighton Rees winning the first, we can have Wayne or Jim, which is absolutely brilliant. But in terms of travel with Wayne, I am in sat now because he hasn't got a clue wherever you go in the world, he's panicking, everything has to be perfect for him. You know, shared rooms with both of them. We've shared as a three, you know, played for Wales. Wayne's obviously not playing anymore. I've won tournaments with them both, peers-wise. You know, my sponsors were with Wayne, so I'm edging towards Wayne, but Jim's a really good mate, so I don't even know what to do in the final. We have a shout, or because Wayne likes to hear my voice as well.
I can hear you, man, I can hear you. Come on, yeah, get in there, mate. Do one for you, and all that sort of nonsense. So
I'm just looking forward to it, to be honest, but it's going to be a nerve-wracking either way. Without it, I'm on the fence of who's going to win, but to be fair, I'd like to see Wayne win because I think Jim's got more years ahead of him, where Wayne's 58. You know, he isn't going to be around that much longer, really. You know, he can have a go at Q School, probably got 5-6 years. Jim's got 25-26 years, so. But whatever happens, I'll be proud of, you know, Jim or Wayne, whoever wins it. But just looking forward to, hopefully they both play to their potential, and then we'll have some fireworks, because the 180s that Wayne's been hitting this week be more than Peter Wright the way he's going. So if Jim gets his head on, though, it'll be very difficult for Wayne to beat him. So that's, but it's great that, you know, he's number 2 seed, Wayne's number 5. It's fitting that we got a Welsh winner, so I'm just proud of that. I'm proud Welshman. So
in moving forward for you, you mentioned Q School already, you know, that's a big target for you. If the worst happens and you don't get a card, I mean, it's going to be probably the biggest field to date.
Yep.
If it doesn't work out for you, BDO's still up in the air, WDF haven't said what they're going to do yet. Will 2020 be Challenge Tour, local comps, that it? Or
no. Rumours has it there's going to be a WDF announcement. But we don't know for a fact, but social media says the WDF, you know, they're going to come in with something. There was talk of a tournament at Lakeside originally. Then I heard that that's not happening. I know it was planned for this same week. I know that a lot of them are going to be both WDF and BDO ranking events. And if I don't get a tour card, then I'll be number 1 in WDF. So I go to the Dutch Open as a number 1 seed, because I know this hasn't got WDF points. Go to Romania, I don't know if that's BDO or WDF. We go in there whenever we get a tour card, we're going anyway. So it'll be a farewell if we don't get a tour card. Challenge Tours we will have a go at, because we've heard some rumours that there might be a European slot for the top players on the Challenge Tour. But until it all comes out, we don't really know. But January sorted, and until we know, the ideal thing, me and Wayne, you know, myself preferably, but both of us for the sponsorships, that, you know, get a tour card, and we're both focused on PDC. But it's not a gimme, is it? You know, I could play four or five games, 90 averages, and lose every one of them, so.
I mean, we saw with Durrant last year, it's not so much about, you know, the talent you've got, it can be the draw, just like on the day, you can have a couple of bad days. I mean, Jim was basically over the line and then, you know, fell short.
Scott Waits last year, lost in the world final and went and didn't get anywhere near anywhere.
Yeah, lost over first round basically every time, yeah. It is a lottery, but...
It's a lottery and it's timing. I always say darts is timing. The 180 at the right time. You're 1-2-1 out when they're on a double at the right time, puts them under pressure. Kicking off with a nice 140 then, and they're thinking, oh, I had this in the bag, and it's all timing, and it's all in your head, Dad. So, but yeah, whatever happens, I'm looking forward to it. You know, if I do get a PDC card, then a farewell to Wales, a finish as a World Cup winner. If I don't, fall back, I'd get the 40 caps this year. If I don't, maybe 50 in a couple of years, but I you know, I'm vice captain of that. I've already told them, you know, I am going, and Jim's going, and another Mark Layton's going. So you never know, they could all turn up. On it's going to be a lottery. I'm looking forward to Q School, but it'll be WDF and BDO, and hopefully the BDO will find a, because I love the BDO, it's counties, it's a great system that works. They, if you listen to Barry Hearn's interview the other week, you find your stars from county, they go on, you get your Glenn Durant's on that sort of thing. So yeah, you know, I just carry on playing as long as Paul, my sponsor, send me wherever he wants to go, then happy days, I'll be travelling.
Well, thank you very much, and I wish you the best of luck for you in a week or so.
Thanks very much.
I'm now joined by the silverback Tony O'Shea, just before the World Championship final. Mm-hmm. Been a pretty great week, hasn't it?
Yeah, there's been some brilliant games of darts. I mean, obviously, I think these boys and girls play brilliant all season to get here. And sometimes the pressure of a Worlds, it's unlike any other pressure, and obviously the odd game suffers for that, but that happens all the time anyway. Yeah, there's been some awesome games, some tight games. I read just hours ago, there was some guy on social media saying, why do we talk about the averages? As long as the game's interesting and close and tit for tat, that should mean everything, and I totally agree with that.
Yeah, 100%, and obviously you've been doing the commentary this year rather than out there playing. Well, I'm sure you'd rather be out there playing
without a doubt,
and soaking up the atmosphere, yeah. But what's been the highlight for you on commentary this week?
I'm not really a commentator, I'm a co-commentator, and I'm just there to pick on things and have a bit of fun. They're the professionals, and that's the lovely thing, doing comms with top professionals like John Gwynn, who I've known most of my dart in life, and John Rawlings and Paul Nicholson. It's been brilliant to work with them guys, and it's great to see pros at work. It's something maybe I might do a bit more of when I've totally retired. I'm still actually playing, so. But yeah, it's just working with true pros.
And what would you say so far has been the game of the tournament?
Well, there's a couple you can think of. I mean, obviously, again, a bit selfish this, but I know young David Evans quite well. He's done a few bits and bobs with him. I was super impressed the way he played. Probably just ran out of gas a bit, but that's probably down to inexperience. We're going to see a lot more of him, whether it's in the video or PDC. We're going to see a hell of a lot more of him. To be honest, there's been a few good games. I mean, again, I was impressed with Scott Mitchell until his game, where he went out. There's only been one or two bad games. I mean, I think they've all been brilliant.
And how do you see the final going tonight? It's definitely going to be a Welsh winner, but will it be Wayne Warren or will it be Jim Williams?
Well, I mean, I did a little piece for TV today, and I'm proud to know both guys. I know them well, love them to death. I've known them forever. Wayne, I mean, I've probably known Wayne 30 years. And obviously, my heart sort of errs a bit on Wayne's side, because it'd be nice to see a senior player do something for the first time. But again, my heart says Wayne a little bit, but my head, my sensible bit says just Jim. But I hope it's close, and I hope it's very, very long, the game. I want to see a tussle, but it's going to be a brilliant game. Then too, if you play the rear game, it's going to be fantastic.
What have you made of the venue? I mean, I know you've said that you played exhibitions here in the past, yeah. But what have you kind of got from the players about the venue, the size of the stage? Because obviously it's a lot bigger than the Lakeside stages.
Well, on TV, the Lakeside used to look big, but if you've actually been on there, you'll know there's literally 2 feet behind you. I can't believe no one's fell off that stage over the years, especially back in the day when they were allowed to drink on stage as well. But it's a beautiful stage, but here it's huge. And obviously I'm not an athletic guy, so I wouldn't have used much of the stage myself anyway. But the players have said that, and I totally agree, the facilities here are brilliant. The players' bar, the players' area, the practice, it's all spot on. And for the fans out there, the view's brilliant. I've actually been out there a couple of times and watched some of the games. And whether it's come across on TV has been a brilliant atmosphere, I'm not sure. But actually, in the crowd, seriously, you need to get here and have a look yourself. It was awesome. And I think it's been a brilliant experience for both players and spectators.
Moving to yourself and your playing, obviously you are playing at the moment. Where are you in terms of kind of your physical condition and your fitness? I know you're talking about having another knee operation done. Where are you at the moment?
Well, to be honest, about 4 years ago I had shoulder problems, so I had cortisone. That actually helped that out, so I've not had it since, touch wood. And then I had a year or so where I was in agony with my knee. I kept eking it out. I had that replaced 2.5 years ago. I got over that and won the Turkish Open, got back in the rankings and qualified again. But then early last year, just after the Lakeside, my other knee started. So I've had 4 years of a nightmare, to be honest. And people who know arthritis, if you've got it, you can't physically do the practice and the hours you need to do. So again, I've just had cortisone again, and we're trying to manage that. I'm trying, I'm practicing, and over Christmas I played some good stuff in my local pub with a couple of friends of mine, and I played really well, and as soon as this finishes I'm off to Wigan, and I'm going to give Q School a go, because on my day, if I can last enough hours, then I can beat anybody still, and, you know, it's all on the day, but I can't see me lasting a full day, win clear on the day, but I think over 4 days, if I can win enough rounds, and maybe sneak a card by the point system.
I know a couple of years ago you and Daryl Fitton went. How did you find the experience then?
I knew there was a lot of good players there, but I was actually shocked, and I had four tough draws, and I think I only won one of them four draws and then got beat the next game, so it brought me down to earth, but I knew it was going to be tough, and it was exactly that, and probably tougher than I thought, but I went on the Challenge Tour then, which is again is very tough. I got a semi-final and two last 16s in my first weekend. I actually got a chance of playing on a tour, I thought, but obviously that would have interrupted my BDO, so again it's going to be tough, and maybe I am on the wrong side of 50, and there's lots of youngsters about, so I'll give it a go. I mean, at my age, what else am I going to do?
Before we recorded, I was saying that I met you a couple of years ago at an exhibition where I was at university, and I mean, you're a great character for exhibitions with your walk on and your style and stuff, but I mean, how much have you enjoyed exhibitions over the years? And I'm sure you've got some stories to tell.
Well, I've actually started writing a book that should be out at the end of 2020. There'll be a few in there, there's lots of stories I can't put in there for legal reasons. But for me, I love the exhibitions, and it's about the personal touch. If you want to see 2180s and 9 darters, then there's better players than me to go and watch. But if you want a fun night and a pint and a lively and fun game of darts, then I'm your man, you know what I mean? So exhibitions are about that, the personal touch, meet and greets, having a few beers with people and just enjoying the night. And at the end of the day, that's what darts should be about.
Well, you've always been one of my favourites since I started watching the BDO, and I'd love to see you back, you know, competing and giving it the big one when you do well. So.
Well, it won't be for the lack of trying.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Just before World Championship final, I'm now speaking to BDO senior referee John Fowler. How are you, John?
Yeah, very well, very well.
It's your first BDO World Championships.
Yep.
How have you enjoyed the experience?
Absolutely fantastic, phenomenal.
Yeah. What's been the highlight of the tournament for you so far?
Everything, really, to be fair. It's a bit difficult to pick one out, really. All the players have been fantastic.
And this is the third BDO major you've done now since you came in.
Yeah, I did one day at the World Trophy because I had previous engagements, and 2 days at the World Masters, and now a week here.
And how did you, obviously all the referees kind of left earlier in 2019, how did it come about you applying and joining the refereeing team?
I did not apply. I was in Germany visiting friends, and I had 2 missed calls from Des, and then a message on Facebook Messenger, can you ring me? I rang him and he asked me if I would love to get involved. I said yeah, and he said the reason we want you involved is if necessary you can actually do the Master of Ceremonies part if needed, and I said yeah, so, and then I was sort of the first one.
You're sort of the first one that was revealed on that little advent calendar,
that's right,
thing
after Paul, obviously.
Obviously the other referees are a lot less experienced than you are. Have they sort of looked to you for advice and guidance?
Not really, no. I mean, they've got plenty of experience in county games, and I think Josh has done a few exhibitions as well. So, yeah, we've all sort of helped each other as a team, really, just sort of kept each other going, and when we've had made the odd little mistake, we've all sort of said, don't worry about it, get on with it.
And what have you as a referee, obviously you get a different perspective, what have you made of the O2 as a venue for the darts?
Absolutely fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah, I went to Lakeside to watch a couple of times. I was there more or less a year ago on the Monday, and it'd have been nice to have had a year on the Lakeside stage to say I'd done it, but I think that's brilliant, superb. You can't knock it, really.
You've been around a bit longer. What have been the highlights of the stuff you've done in terms of things that you've refereed, and what kind of goals do you still have in terms of refereeing?
Well, I mean, every exhibition or tournament or whatever, I always look forward to and aim to do the best I can, but obviously there's been highlights like 2 trips to Japan for the PDJ playoffs and possible return again this year. An exhibition in Cologne with 9,000 in the crowd with Peter Wright hitting a 9 dart, it was obviously a, and highlight, and 9,000 Germans singing "You'll Never Walk Alone" as I'm being driven to the stage on a golf buggy was also brilliant, which I've got videos of, which I watch now and again just to perk me up. But yeah, I mean, travelling everywhere, whether it's 5 miles to my local town, which I put on, or whether it's anywhere, Ireland, Germany, Japan, Switzerland, fantastic. Just look forward to it.
And how did you get into the kind of the counting, scoring, reffing, emceeing side of the business?
Well, I used to be a county player, played many times for Oxfordshire. I was there one day when I was trying to get back into the team after missing a few years of not playing, and they said to me, would you help us out by doing a bit of calling? And I said, well, I'll do it, but I didn't really enjoy it to start with. And then we were in Yorkshire 11 years ago, and somebody said, why don't you think about doing exhibitions? And Dennis Smith was playing for us at the time and said, I'll do you a cheap one. So we did that. Did Jamie Caven about 4 months later in the same venue, and then I started getting outside bookings. And then I lost my father in 2011, and my mother in 2012, and I said to my brother, I'm going for it. I'm going to do it professionally. I rung Bob Anderson up and said, what do you think? And he never hesitated. He said, you've got to go for it. So that's what I've done. I just built it up from there.
And the more you've done, is that when you started to really get into it and enjoy it a lot more?
Definitely. It was... I mean, the exhibition side was always great fun, but doing tournaments is also, it's also brilliant. I just have to remember that it's serious and can't make the scores up. Somebody said to me the other day on Facebook Messenger, do you get tempted to pick a dart out, put it in a treble and then tell a joke? And I said, no. They said, oh, you look too serious. I said, it is serious. It's not an exhibition.
How do you deal, obviously, if there's kind of a fractious atmosphere between the players on the stage? Obviously, your job as referee is to try and keep the crowd organised and stuff. But how do you deal with that situation?
To be fair, I don't think it's ever happened. Every game I've ever called in serious tournament play, it's been perfect atmosphere between the players. I've done, you know, one person might have said, can you walk back a different way when it's not been televised, and so you just say, yeah, would you mind going the other way? And that's, but no, nothing.
And one final thing, one of my highlights of this tournament has been your pronunciation of Super Mario's surname. Would you be able to do it one more time for me?
I'll do the whole lot of it easier. Mario van den Bohade.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Mr. Fowler. Okay.
Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you. Well, I hope you enjoyed those three interviews that I picked up on the final day of the 2020 BDO World Championships. Thank you very much to Nick Kenny for giving me some time right at the start when I got there. You know, we went out, stood on the balcony, had a lovely chat. He's a great bloke, and I really wish him all the best at Q School later in the week. It was fantastic to talk to Tony O'Shea, one of my favourite players for a long time, and, you know, someone I saw at an exhibition, and yeah, he was just absolutely brilliant, a wonderful bloke, and... You know, I'd absolutely love to see him on the big stage, whether it's BDO, PDC, whatever. He's just a top man of the sport, and the sport's richer for people like him being in it. And he did tell me as well on Sunday that he's hoping to get playing for Cheshire again this year as well, so he can get to his 200 caps, which will be pretty special indeed. Thank you very much, John Fowler, and a great chat with him in the referee's room just before everything got underway. Great to talk to him and kind of... see his route into the sport, and it was great to hear his story. And I can imagine being driven in a German stadium in a golf buggy is pretty cool. So yeah, it was. Thank you very much to him. Also, thank you very much to the Weekly Darts Cast who had me on the Sunday. It was great to chat to Alex before the World Championship final, and great to chat to Hannah as well for the other sessions that I was there. She's now fully aware of my absolute love of Mario van den Bochard, the. That definitely wasn't as good as John Fowler's, but I tried. Yeah, thank you very much for listening. Check out the Weekly Darts Cast. Check out at Inside the BDO on Twitter. Make sure you check out our feed. Listen to the Francis Carragher interview in particular. I thought that was a really, really enjoyable one. I thought Francis was very raw and very honest on the Saturday after Keane Barry's win, talking about him, his future projects and all that kind of thing. And yeah. It's been Inside the BDO. I'm Andrew Sinclair. Thank you very much for listening. Until next time.